Okay, namaste. Welcome. Welcome to month two of the Yoga Entrepreneurship Satsang. It's today in month two, we're going to be venturing into accessing your inner guru. So this is a deuce. This month, I invite you to deepen your awareness of your own wholeness and its inner wisdom. I believe that our search for purpose and for meaningful, purposeful, and aligned work is, in truth, a deep longing to experience our own wholeness. And that's why spiritual practice is so important in the context of your work and your business, and why yoga I have found to be so effective. So yoga, translated, means union. And it's designed, all its practices are designed to bring us back to awareness of our own wholeness. Last week, my spiritual teacher described it as it takes the fragments of ourselves, okay, things that we experience as fragmentation, and it weaves them back together. And in doing so, it also weaves our individuality, our individual consciousness, into the wholeness of universal consciousness. It weaves us back into an awareness of that wholeness, of that oneness. And this month, we're going to specifically and very consciously and deliberately use spiritual energy to experience that wholeness. Okay, spiritual energy, you have individual spiritual energy, which in yoga is called Shakti. Okay, it's known as being feminine. It's about movement. Maybe you think about how energy works. It's full of movement, full of life, full of vigor. And then there's vast universal spiritual energy, which in yoga is known as Shiva, which is the vastness, the quiet, the stillness, and is known as more masculine in nature. And the practices of yoga, meditation in particular, move the Shakti, individual energy, which is coiled, known to be coiled three times at the base of the spine, to rise, to encourage that Shakti to rise through you up in the body to the crown of the head and merge with Shiva, the universal energy, into stillness. So when we meditate, ask Shakti to rise up the spine and merge with Shiva in union. And that's often where we experience silence and stillness, where we get our mind, we look past our minds, really, to that juicy, sweet silence and stillness. And we can experience that as wholeness. So again, this month we're going to quite consciously work with this spiritual energy and experience what, for yourselves, what that wholeness feels like to you. Okay, what does it have to teach you? How can you let it guide you? How do you even experience it? Last month, we worked on cultivating awareness, and I know from the forum and from our small group call, you all were cultivating a really high and refined level of awareness, a discernment, okay, about your thoughts, a discernment about your actions, what was procrastination, what was wisdom in waiting, what was avoidance, what did it have to teach you? And so we'll approach this wholeness, this seeking out and asking of our quiet inner wisdom, we'll ask the same questions. What does it have to teach you, and how can you let it guide you? And even, as I said, most basically, how do you experience, when you listen, what happens? How do you experience it? Let's talk a little bit about how this works physically in yoga. First, I'd like to take you through experiencing it. We have a new meditation for this month that works with the energy centers in the body and with clearing out the energy centers in order to raise Shakti, to allow Shakti to rise and merge with Shiva and create that experience of wholeness, or reveal to us what is already present, really, that experience of wholeness. So let's experience that first, and then I'll take you through the energy centers in the body and how that works. We'll deconstruct it a little bit, and then we'll talk about the opportunity to use that experience in a yogic way. So you have the opportunity, when I say the yogic way, thinking about yoga as union, you have the opportunity to start exploring this month the union of the awareness and experience of your own wholeness to your business. What does that mean? What does that look like? How do you connect the two? And start to play with the union of those two things, which we so often in the mind and in our experience separate. So let's go through, if you'll just settle in now, we'll experience this rising and merging of Shakti with Shiva. So taking a breath in, closing your eyes, the clearing breath, starting at the base of the spine, breathing in, imagining you could breathe the breath up the spine, to the crown of the head, and then exhale that breath fully back down the spine. And draw your attention to the base of the spine now, the tip of the tailbone. It's the first chakra, the root chakra. Imagine on your next inhale that you could breathe the breath in horizontally, from in front of you, from behind you, horizontally from both sides of the body into the base of the spine. And when you exhale, we'll exhale chanting the sound OM. So take another breath in here, inhaling horizontally into the base of the spine. OM. Bring your conscious awareness now up a couple inches to the center of the pelvis, the second chakra, and inhale horizontally here. We'll exhale again with an OM. OM. Rising up, bringing your conscious awareness to the third chakra, the solar plexus, that area right below the ribs. Inhaling. Now inhaling into the heart chakra, in the center of the chest, from both in front and behind the body, inhale. Oh. rising your consciousness to the throat, the base of the throat, inhaling. Rising to the third eye, the seat of your inner wisdom between two eyebrows. Inhaling there. Rising and breathing in now at the crown of the head. Now rise, bring your awareness to the space about an inch above the head. Take an easy breath in there, horizontally still. Soft breaths. Listen to the silence. On your next inhale, breathing in the stillness and the silence, drawing the stillness, drawing the silence, drawing a white light down from the crown of the head, inhaling all it down, all the way down the spine to the tip of the tailbone, and exhale out of the tailbone, down into the earth, grounding yourself again in your body, grounding yourself in your relationship to the earth, and then inhale up from the earth back into the body gently, and exhale fully. Opening your eyes slowly as you're ready. I'm just checking in with how you feel now. So, from this place, let me explain, let me share with you what we've done. So how does this work? I said that we were deliberately going to use spiritual energy to move our individual energy into merging in union with the universe. So the body has energy centers called nadis. It actually has cords of energy that rise along the spine. The major energy channel is called the Sushumna, and it follows and even houses the spine of your physical body. And so when we meditate, we're calling Shakti to rise from the base of the spine and encouraging it to rise up that Sushumna energy channel to the crown of the head and merge with Shiva. Now, along each side of the Sushumna are two other nadis, energy channels, that loop back and forth around the Sushumna like the trichus, the symbol in the medical society of the two snakes that enter. And one is on the right side and one is on the left side, the Ida and the Pingala. They represent, again, the set of dualities that yoga weaves together, the masculine and the feminine, the sun and the moon, cool and hot, ease and effort, will and surrender. So it's about the balance, or not even the balance, it's about the integration and the wholeness of those dualities that we experience in the human body. So as these two nadis, the Ida and the Pingala, weave up the body, where they intersect creates the chakras, the wheels, the energy center or wheels in the body. And that's what we're working with in this meditation this month, is we're stopping and pausing our awareness and our attention on each of those chakras. And we're chanting Om. Om in Sanskrit is, well, it's known as really the first or the original sounds. It is said to be the sound of all of the Sanskrit alphabet, letters rather, in the alphabet together. And it is also said or known to be the sound of consciousness, or the sound that the universe makes if you listen into the stillness. It's like an undulating sound. So by chanting Om, we are encouraging balance and consciousness, the vibration of consciousness and union in each one of our energy centers as the energy rises to the crown of the head. So that's the energetics behind it. That's the theory and the experience of kind of how and why this works. And we'll be practicing this meditation for the month of month two, as a practice to get you in touch with and unveil the remembrance of that feeling of wholeness, of the truth of your own wholeness and lack of the separation. And from that space, from that experience of wholeness, we can start to ask questions. Wisdom. Okay. What is your experience? Your wholeness, your connection with that which is universal, has great wisdom to teach you. And it is always available to you, and it gets hidden by the to-do list and the demand to make money and the mind telling you perhaps what you should be or could be or want to be or do or have. And so it becomes a constant practice to use the tools that you have to remind yourself that this wisdom is available to you at all times. And we can start to, as I said, create a union between our experience of that, our access to that wisdom, and our everyday lives and our business. So how do we do that? I propose that there are really two ways to go about this. One is by creating, as you have begun to do, daily practices that bring you into alignment, that bring you into attunement with your own wholeness, with your own sacredness. and with your own wisdom. So there's daily processes that you do day in, day out, week in, week out, without really any necessarily purposeful intent of them to impact your business, other than for you to experience your own wholeness and your own spirituality. And then the second way is to actually ask specific questions about your path or about your work or about your business, using then the meditation and the other tools of yoga as a tool to help you answer that. You can use one of those. You can use both of them. Different situations might call for different techniques. One is not better than the other or even more effective. It's really whatever you feel called to do. So in context of that, I invite you to ask yourself as you practice, how do I experience my own inner wisdom? How does it come to me? Does it come to me in images? Is it a whisper? How loud is it? How soft? What is its language for being known to me? I suspect that there are as many ways of experiencing or knowing your own wisdom, of your wisdom speaking to you, as there are individuals and as there are paths to God and through business. So the way that your inner wisdom speaks to you or teaches you may or may not be the same way, the same modality that mine speaks to me. And that's okay. So again, how could you experience that? It may be images, it may be words, it may be music, it may be knowing, a feeling, in color, anything, everything you can. Part of this is you cultivating the trust for how that message comes. So the first question to draw that connection between experiencing your wholeness and your inner wisdom and applying it in your business life is, how does it speak to me? The second immediate question may well be, what gets in the way of me listening to it? Why do I not listen? Do I not trust? Am I afraid? And so of what? How do I know that is what I am listening to? There was a great question asked last week by the student of mine. And she asked, how do I know that I'm actually listening to my intuition? How do I trust? She said, the tricky thing, part of what she said, one of the wild, tricky things about being a human is that sometimes you don't know. I have heard of me, and I have heard on the if that's your intuition, and if it doesn't fall, if it does lead down that road. If it's not, make another choice. It's okay. It is okay. You have learned something. It's okay. So I don't want you to use, encourage you not to use this idea of it being your inner wisdom or your intuition being this big, heavy thing. Oh, my God, I have to get it right. What if it's not? It's okay. We're just learning. We're cultivating awareness of that as well as awareness of our own mind, our own patterns of action and thought. So, one big piece here this month about inner wisdom will be listening. Okay, this is where, in my experience, listening comes to the forefront, making space for listening. We talked a bit last month about that balance between doing and not doing, giving and receiving. And we also talked a little bit about speaking or asking versus listening. So our inner wisdom, using it, being guided by it, allowing it in, demands our listening. And there could be a multitude of ways that you can allow for the listening. I'll just offer some examples here. I'd love to hear from all of you how you go about encouraging yourself to open to that listening. But most of these kind of modalities require a break of some kind, require us getting out of our own way, getting out of our own routine. So it could be, of course, meditation, listening to silence after meditation. It could be movement, yoga or dance, hiking, walking, cycling, movement. It could be journaling, painting, coloring, even sometimes color rather than paint. the framework is already there for me. It allows my mind to free up, my heart to free up more than when I am just kind of channeling the creation. Sailing, outdoors, playing with the dog, taking a shower or a bath, some saws, those are some more tactile ways. So again, those are just some examples of things, activities that you could do to help encourage yourself to listen once you have asked to hear your inner wisdom. And so then as you're listening or after you're listening, again, I'll come back to two questions I posed earlier, which is, what does it have to teach you? And how can you let it guide you? And to get specific about your business this month, I invite you to ask, what if my business feels guided by my inner wisdom right now? Is our right on? And, of course, the opposite. What pieces of my business or my work do not feel guided, that I have a kind of a sixth sense that something, this isn't right for me. May or may not know I change that, you know, and that's okay. That can be a place of discomfort, tension. Sometimes in yoga we call that point of tension plus. Okay, which means heat. It means it's creating a situation system that has more heat to burn away what is not needed as fuel for what's next, okay, as a cleansing, unveiling of what is truer, okay, underneath. So I will leave it there for now, for this month. Again, using energy deliberately to experience wholeness and listening, creating situations for yourself to listen to what the wisdom of that wholeness has to teach you. And you can start to make a list of the things that you're doing that feel guided. That's what I'm looking for, that feel guided by that inner wisdom, and the things that feel like, you know, I don't know that they are. I maybe did this because I should have, or because my business coach told me to, or because everyone in my industry does it this way, or because this is the way I was taught. But it may not be working. And as we go forward, we will continue to collapse these pieces of awareness and cultivate this sense of guidance. And in month 5, we will then begin the structural pieces. It's a good time to talk about this a little bit now in terms of the structure of the course as we go forward, because we're talking about union of opposites. We're talking about yoga, bringing those together. So I believe that your business is also, my experience is that business is also a union of opposites. We've got structure that keep things running smoothly, and we've got energy, we've got creativity, we've got passion that is the force, okay? And the structure guides that so that it's productive. So we'll be taking right now, we're in more of that feminine incubation, energy movement, amorphous space, and we'll be moving all of the awareness that we gather in the next, over these 2 months and the next 2 months, and we'll come to a point where we'll start being able to use that in a more structured way. So that's how business and this program link together with the union of opposites. So I will leave you with that. If anyone has any questions, we should be in the right mode for you to ask if you press *6.
Rebecca, this is Ann.
Yes.
Hi, Ann. Would you mind repeating the first, you said there were two ways that we could work on integrating this wisdom into our lives, and the first one, I don't know if it was my reception or yours, but you were breaking up the whole time you were talking about that first way. Would you mind repeating
that? Okay, sure. No, not at all. I don't mind at all. Okay, so I was saying that there are two ways that you could use your practice, okay, of wholeness, use your spiritual practice to connect with what's going on in business.
Mm-hmm.
One way to do that is simply by cultivating your own daily practices, okay, as a foundation for your own life and your own well-being. So this is like creating them in the background, again, as a foundation, which creates that awareness and the openness in you. So you're actually going out and operating from a different space, from a more aware space, from a more.
Can you say that again? Yeah. Again, you're breaking up.
Gosh, I don't know what's happening. Okay, let me try it again.
you said to create them in the background. I got that much.
Right. So it's a set of personal spiritual practices for you, which create a foundation for your own wellness. Okay.
Okay.
For you, and it carries over then into every part of your life. You're bringing that forth with you in the way that you're showing up in every part of your life, and that includes your business.
Okay.
Okay? So it's,
yeah,
like, it's like you're training yourself almost. You know, you don't go out and run a marathon, you train. You don't expect yourself to make conscious choices or to make different choices when there's something stressful or triggering in front of you. You don't expect to like bring up the spiritual practice then, right? You've got to kind of train yourself so that it's second nature,
mm-hmm,
to pause, to take a breath, to view the situation with your witness mind, maybe cultivate a little bit of detachment from it. I would just say that it's my experience that you don't just pull that out of nowhere. It's like training your body physically. You train your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first way, is as a foundational piece for your own life. And you bring that forth with you into your business, and you are different. You're present differently in it because of that.
Okay.
The second way that you can use this is by actually asking for specific guidance or asking specific questions about a situation or about what you need in your business or what's not working. So you could say, you know, gosh, should I take this client or not? Okay. And you could specifically go into meditation saying, is this the right situation for my business? Okay, you could take that question in with you. Or you can pose that specific a question and leave it kind of hanging out there almost in space and say, okay, I'm going to ask this, but I'm not going to expect an immediate answer. I'm going to continue my daily practice. I'm going to take a break from work. I'm going to go take a walk, whatever it is. And you can use kind of some of those modalities for listening that I talked about.
Mm-hmm.
So I've met people who have preferences, you know, for one or the other. I know people who ask specifically about all kinds of things in their business, right? They want guidance on X, and they will ask for an answer. I tend to be less that way. I tend to be more holistic about it and kind of cultivate from my daily practices a way of being that allows me to answer questions as they come up. But I've used the second one also. For me, sometimes the asking for a specific answer is a little bit too much pressure. It's a little too results-oriented.
I get that.
Yeah, so if you feel like you fall into that trap like I do, where it's like, okay, I asked, give me the answer, come on now. You might want to back off of that second one a little bit, but play with it. You know, there are times where obviously I said there are as many ways to experience this as there are people. There are universal kind of commonalities, I think, to the way we experience this kind of knowing, but it's very individualized. And so don't feel like you're doing it wrong. Again, that comes back to the question of how do I trust my intuition? Trust it. Practice trusting it. I don't experience my own wisdom, for example. I don't experience it in images. Very rarely do I ever, have an image of something. I'm like, whoa, okay. But other people do. You know, I know people who do. That's the way they experience their spiritual wisdom. It's the same thing. I will ask. Sometimes I'll ask a specific question. I won't sit down and meditate on the question. Usually I will do something else. I'll either paint or I'll practice yoga, and it might take a little while. And then I'll be doing something, and I will not expect it, and I'll be hit with it. Oh, yeah, gosh, this is what I should do, or this is what I needed to learn. This is the message about that, and it clicks. But for me personally, it's very rarely by asking directly in meditation and getting a direct answer within that meditation. But again, I know people who do that, and for whom that is their relationship. So there's not a right or wrong here. Not at all. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Good. Thanks. Anyone else? Okay. Well, I will let you all go. Thank you so much for being here. I will upload the recording and also email it out, and I will see you all on the 7th. I'm also going to upload a drawing, a picture of the chakras, so that those of you who are visually oriented can kind of see where they are in the body. I didn't mention this, but also each of the chakras have a color associated with them and a quality and a sound. We are using just the simple sound of Om. I didn't want to blow your minds away by having to learn multiple sounds. But just know that each of the chakras correlates with an emotional state, correlates with organs of the body, and that by bringing awareness and sound vibration to each of them, we are asking and looking to balance them. But I'm happy to provide also more information about that if people don't know and are interested in the more of the qualities of the chakras. Okay. So if there are no other questions, I will say goodbye and namaste. Thank you so much for being here. I'll talk to you in a couple weeks.